And I'm going to get straight to it this morning. Today, I want you to turn to somebody and say, are you abiding? Are you abiding? This morning's message is titled, Abiding in His Presence. They're still saying it. Good grief. Man, y'all are serious. That's good. I like it. I like it. Hey, abiding in His presence. Over the past couple months, I think maybe it's everything that has transpired in the world that we live in today, but God has been dropping this idea or this thought in my heart that we have so many people, and don't get me wrong, because I'm guilty just as well as anybody else is, of spending time abiding in the presence of the one who is all, was all, and always will be, and His name is Jesus. When we get to a place that all this stuff is going on in the world and we feel anxious and we feel like the world is crashing down around us and we've got all this stuff and the wars and the stuff going on in our country today, it's so vitally important that when we feel those emotions and those things coming upon us, are you abiding in the one who knows all and is all? He's the one who knows He's the one who knows us before we were in our mother's womb. He knew us from the beginning of creation. He knew us before we were even a thought. So are you abiding in His presence? Church, it's so important that we get back to Jesus. Jesus, because I'm telling you, this world is going to throw everything they can at you through media, social media, whatever the cost may be. We get so consumed by the things of this world, by news. And years ago, I used to get up every morning. And the first thing that I would do was turn on the TV to watch the 5 o'clock news. And the Lord convicted me of it because He said, the first thing you do in the morning is you go to the news and the media to figure out what's going on in the world, but you haven't even spent time with me yet. You haven't even abided in the one who knows every single detail about your life, that when you're anxious, He can give you peace. When you need joy, He can give you joy. When you need contentment, He can give you contentment. And you're turning to all these other things. You're turning to social media to try to give you entertainment. You're trying to turn to media and all these other things to find the source of happiness, or even not even happiness, because to be honest, every time I turned on that television, I just felt anxious. I felt bad. I felt like, man, there's something that had a grip on me. And God said, I want you to stop turning on the TV. In our house, that TV doesn't come on before we have time with Jesus in the morning. Because I know that if I've not abided with Him in His presence every single day, Dad's not going to be who Dad needs to be for his kids. Mom's not going to be who mom needs to be for her husband and for her kids. And I'm not going to be able to lead them in the way that they need to be led, even for that day. So are you abiding in His presence, church? So where we're from in northeastern Missouri, we're from just a little northeast of St. Louis. And there, I'm sure you get them here too, but we get really bad thunderstorms. And I have a little five-year-old boy that even the thought of a thunderstorm, he starts saying, Alexa, what's the weather? I kid you not. Alexa, what's the weather today? He's wanting to know, is it going to rain? Is it going to thunderstorm? I don't know. He's asking her before he's asking me. He trusts her more than he trusts me. But that's the thing. Even the thought of a storm, it begins to work on the inside of him. It gets him scared. And so about 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had these really bad thunderstorms. I'm going to admit, it was loud. I couldn't sleep, and I'm a heavy sleeper, ask my wife. I couldn't sleep, and the thunder and the lightning was bright and loud. It was so loud, in fact, that it was shaking the decorations. It was shaking the house. And me and my wife, as soon as it started, we just looked at each other and we said, it's going to be a long night, because we knew. And not too long after that, here comes this five-year-old little boy walking out of his room, looking for mom and dad. We tried to give him enough comfort to get back to his room, to lay him back in bed, and we did so. He laid down. An hour later, here he comes again, looking for mom and dad. So we did what any parent would do who's just trying to get some rest after the kids go to bed. Come here and lay down on the couch, and it'll be okay. You know, lay on the couch, it'll be okay, and we'll let him lay there until, I don't usually go to bed around 11:30 or so at night, 11:30 midnight. We get him up, and we put him back in his bed, go to bed. Wouldn't you know it, at 3 a.m., I'm awoken by a little 5-year-old boy who taps on my shoulder. Daddy, I'm scared. So I took him back to his room, did the same thing, kind of laid with him for a little while, went back to bed. At 6 a.m., I had already gotten up. I was up, ready, you know, getting ready, and I hear the footsteps running down the hallway, and I met him halfway down the hallway, and he embraced me in a hug, and he said, Daddy, I'm so scared. And I said, okay, son. And I said, I took him back in his room, and I laid him down, and this time I laid beside him for about, I would say, 30 minutes. And as I laid there, the storms were still going on. The lightning was still flashing, and the decorations of the walls were still shaking. But something changed. Something changed. Because the very person that was put there for his protection was in the room. The very person that was put there to oversee this 5-year-old little boy, he didn't flinch, he didn't whimper, he didn't cry, because Dad was in the room. Church, I'm telling you now that when you've spent enough time abiding in the presence of the one who knows you, there ain't no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no depression, there's nothing. Now, I'm telling you, when you get to a moment of desperation and you've spent enough time abiding in his presence, there is nothing that can shake you. Cancer, it might come, but it's not going to shake you. Depression, it might come, but it's not going to shake you. Anxiety and fear, all those things are still going to be there, but they're not going to shake you, because you've spent your time abiding in the one who knows who you are. Church, it is so important that we get back to the Savior. Now, I know that seeking the end times, I'm a nerd, just like Pastor, you know, eschatology and the end times and all the signs and all that, but sometimes we spend so much time seeking signs instead of seeking the Savior. And if we've not spent enough time seeking the Savior and too much seeking the signs, you will be anxious because you've not abided in Him. Church, the world is coming to an end as we know it. But if you spent time abiding in Him, there's no anxiety. There's great joy because you know where your eternal destiny is. There's no fear. There's no worry because you've spent time with Him. So, church, I want to ask you again, have you been abiding in His presence? Not just a Sunday and a Wednesday thing. It's an everyday walking it out, that you're making it a priority, that in the morning, before you get on Facebook, before you get on social media, before you turn on the news, that you're in the Word, you're in prayer. Parents, it is so important that when our kids wake up in the morning, they don't find the TV on the first thing in the morning. They find us in a holy desperation before the Lord, that we're seeking His face every day. That's what's going to leave them behind, what they need to be left behind, so that they don't have to worry. See, I don't worry for myself. I worry for my kids. And I worry that I just hope that Dad's leaving them behind a legacy that's solid and built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That when they do, inevitably, if Dad's not here, inevitably, that they'll know Jesus is the one that I can turn to for everything that I need. Everything. Jesus. Mark 4, 35 through 41 is where we will be reading from today. And this is what it says. As evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." And so they took in a boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping in the back of a boat with His head on a cushion. The disciples woke Him, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke, He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" They asked each other, "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now I want you to notice something about this portion of Scripture. These are the men that walked with Jesus, that saw his miracles, that saw everything that he could do. They were walking with him and communing with him daily. Even they said to themselves, "Who is this man?" They didn't even address him for who he was. They said, "Teacher." You see, church, when we don't recognize who is in our presence, Jesus, yeah, we're gonna fear. We're gonna have anxiety. We're gonna have worry. Because when we get so lost in all this other stuff that we have going on and we've not spent time with Jesus, we lose sight of who's even in our presence. We lose sight of the one who is all, who knows all, and who will always be. And his name is Jesus. That's why I love that song that we were singing this morning. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. It stands above them all, because whenever we face times of trouble and desperation in this world, the only person that's going to give us any sort of relief is Jesus. The only person that's going to bring us peace within the storm. The only person that's going to bring us peace when we have marital troubles and we have wayward kids and sons and daughters is Jesus. That's it. That's the only person. No media, no president, not Democrat or Republican. Jesus. That's the only person that we can turn to whenever we find ourselves in times of desperation. They didn't acknowledge him for who he was. In fact, they said to themselves, "Who is this man?" They saw him as a teacher, and yet they walked with him and saw him do all the miracles that he did. So who do you see Jesus as today? Is he just some guy that you know about? You see, you can know about Jesus, but you don't know who Jesus is. I'm a walking, living, breathing example of that. You see, something you need to know about me is I grew up in church. I sat on the third row, and I sat right like this. My parents brought me to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every revival in between. They served on the greeter teams and the usher teams and all the other teams, the youth team, the kids team. They served in it all, and yet their sons sat there. So I came to church. I knew who Jesus was. I knew who he was, but it wasn't until I had a radical encounter of my own with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that I really found out who this Jesus is that I knew about but didn't know in my heart. And that's what I want you to understand today, is that you can have a lot of head knowledge about who Jesus is and still not know him with your heart. Church, it's time that we get back to a daily devotion of abiding in him. Because if you're not, you're going to get lost in all the stuff, all the media, all the signs of the times. Don't spend so much time looking at the signs that you miss the Savior. Because inevitably that will lead to probably you not spending eternity with the one who loves you the most. And his name is Jesus, who died for you. Today I want to give you just couple practical examples of how you and I can abide in his presence, but then also when we abide in his presence, we don't do anything to abide in his presence, but when we do, we get some stuff, and it's good, and I can promise you that. The first thing that I want us to kind of talk through today is that we have to practice his presence. All of this is going to seem very elementary, and I didn't come with some profound word today, because the gospel is simple. Jesus rose again, and he's coming back. But we have to practice his presence. You see, anything that we want to be good at, we will put in the effort to be good at it. Anything. We buy the best fishing rods, the best boats, the best rifles, the best guns, the best cleats, the best sporting equipment for our kids so that they can be the very best that they can be. But when it comes to spending time with him, okay, 5 minutes in the morning, or when your Bible app gives you the notification, hey, did you forget to read today? I mean, come on. And again, don't get me wrong, because I'm guilty of it too. Nobody's perfect. I found myself in seasons of not fully abiding in the one who knows me. But when I get back to it, man, it's so good. And I can't believe that I would have even went any other way. But we've got to practice his presence. One thing that you'll find about me is that I've got a lot of hobbies. A lot. Ask my wife. And most of my hobbies are expensive hobbies, okay? One of those hobbies is carpentry. I love to woodwork. It's just something that I do. It's something that it clears my mind. And when I first started doing carpentry, man, I thought it was so good. I'm going to tell you about the first thing that I ever built. The first thing that I ever built was for my wife and I's anniversary, and I got to thinking, man, what can I do to really swoon over my wife? It's our first anniversary. You know, she really loves me, you know what I mean? So what can I do to swoon over my wife? I thought, what can I do? I'm going to build her something. I didn't have any tools. What am I going to do, you know? So I'm going somewhere. I built this bench, and I was going to bring a picture of it, and I forgot, but this bench, it was the best bench. My wife was so proud of it, or at least she said she was. It was made out of little 1x4, you know, white pine, cheap wood stuff, and I was so proud of it, man. I remember I didn't even have tools to work on it, so I went over to my best friend's house. I'm like, hey, can I use your garage and some of your tools? Yeah, okay. So I stored it at his house, and when I gave it to her. The thing about it is, over the years, now that bench is nothing to look at, but guess what? We still have that bench today because it's purposeful. It's meaningful to us. Travels all over with us, everywhere that we've ever gone. But as I begin to get better and better and better and better, now I've got every tool in the book. I've got planers, I've got joiners, I've got table saws, I've got everything, right? And I can build a table with a tabletop out of multiple pieces of wood, and it looks like one solid piece. Doesn't even look like it's multiple pieces. Why? It's because I've spent time practicing it. Church, is the same for you and I's relationship with the Heavenly Father, that as we spend time on our hands and our knees, and as we spend time in the Word and in prayer and in devotion to Him, that it's not that we're trying to get better, but it just gets better every single day. I'm telling you that when you spend time with the Father, it gets so much better. Every single day that you practice, every single prayer that you pray, as you begin to work in the Spirit and read your Word and whatever it is that you do, it just gets better. Better as you practice in time, with time and over time. Church, Jesus only gets better. A life with Jesus only gets better. It doesn't get worse. Because one day, we're going to be able to be with Him in eternity, where there's no more sickness, there's no more sorrow, there's no more pain, there's no more tears of sorrow. That's the day that I'm looking for. We used to sing an old song that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? Man, that's so true. God, I just want to be with you. And if I can't be in heaven with you now, why not bring it down to earth? Because I'm telling you, there's something about that on that day. On that day of Calvary, when that veil was torn from the top to bottom, it gave you and I access into God's throne room, into His presence where we could abide with Him daily. There was no more striving. There was no more having to work to do it. All we had to do was say, God, I'm here and I want more and more and more of you. That's what I want, church. I want more of Him than I want anything else. But if we're taking time to spend on everything else, neglecting abiding with our Heavenly Father, and wonder why our world is crashing down around us, and we don't know what else to do, I don't know about you, but I want to have a solid foundation of Jesus Christ, just like the wise man who built his house on the rock. We've all learned it since Sunday school. That's what I want to be. That even when the storms of life are raging, I know who I'm sure in, and that's Jesus. No other name, no other person, no other thing. The only place where I can think everything is perfect is whenever I have a true, authentic encounter with Jesus. Church, I'm going to tell you something. This is not about show. It's not about having to come down here in an altar, have someone lay hands on you, have a pastor or a preacher or evangelist or whoever lay hands on you and happen to have an encounter with you. Some of the most powerful encounters that I've ever had with Jesus, with God, was when my wife and kids left my house and I found myself on the floor, on my face, and God just begins to pour out his spirit on me. Made me late for work. But you know what? I said, you don't know who I've been with. And I'll take the unplanned time. I'll take the discipline because Jesus is much better than anything else. Church, I'm telling you, he is so much better than anything we could ever imagine. And when we spent time with him, practicing his presence. Second thing we do is pursue his presence. Pursue his presence. Now, I know you're probably thinking, well, that's pretty much the same thing. Well, once you practice, you begin to pursue. Once you begin to learn how to practice his presence and put those things into practice, you begin pursuing him like never before. I've always said that anything that is worth putting some effort into and chasing after is worth putting in some work. And I'm sure that you already know this, friends, but God pursued you even when you were far from him. I know he did for me. That I was basically backslidden, sitting on the third row of my church in the back row of my youth group. And people tried to reach out to me and tried to get me to engage with them, and I just wouldn't. But I'm telling you that God pursued you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have you to be with him. You see, Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And what does that mean is that when we seek him above all else, everything else that we need, it just makes sense. That may be financially, that may be in our marriage, that may be in our home, that may be with our kids. I'm telling you, when you seek him first, everything else falls into place. There have been times in my life where I didn't know where money was going to come from, but I said, God, I don't care if I have a job or not have a job. I'm going to seek you first, and it just happens. It just shows, the money just shows up. I said, I don't know where it came from, but it came from somewhere. I really don't. Those are called mailbox checks. They just show up out of nowhere. Or a refund that I didn't know I was going to get just shows up. And most of the time, it's right on time. I'm not a very emotional person. I'm not. I never really will be, probably. Maybe it's a man thing. I don't know. But when I find myself in full abandon with Jesus, I can't help but be emotional. And it's not some fake emotional. It's real. Because I'm grateful that there was a man named Jesus who was willing to give up his place in heaven to come down to earth, to sacrifice for me, to come and live a life that he didn't have to live, but he chose to because he saw it fit that each and every one of us was worth it, that each and every one of us was worth, just even if it was just for one person, he would have done it so that he could spend eternity with you. The love of our Savior, it makes me to where I can't help but to say, God, thank you. God, thank you for everything that you've done for me. It makes me want to pursue him. It makes me want to be in his presence. See, when you grasp the understanding of that you just, I can't help but to want more of his presence surrounding my life. Friends, there have been times in my life that if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have made it. Not just really my whole life. My whole life, if it wasn't for him, I would not have made it. I would not be standing here before you today if he didn't both save me spiritually and physically. My God is so good, and I can't help but to want more and more of him. This is not some show. This is not some fake whatever anybody else wants to call it. It is real. Jesus is so good that I just want more of him every single day. More and more of him. Two things: we practice his presence and then we pursue his presence. And when we do those things, we get a lot more than this, but I want to share with you what a couple things. The first thing is that we get the promise of the Holy Spirit. And you might be saying to yourself, well, of course we get the Holy Spirit. When we decide to come into a relationship with Jesus, we get that Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. It's the person that helps us, and the Holy Spirit is a person, by the way. The Holy Spirit helps us to know right from wrong, how to helps us guide us in our lives. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to ask the Father to send you what? A helper to help you along the way. That's who he is. So, of course, we get the Holy Spirit. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more than just a helper that helps you. God, it gives you power. And when I'm talking about power, when I'm talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit by his baptism in the Holy Spirit. Church, I'm going to tell you something that I fully believe. That in the last days that we're living in, every believer, young and old, is going to need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the reason for that, is because we're going to face some stuff. We're going to go through some stuff. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't know. I don't know how they're going. They may be able to, but I'm going to say I don't want to live without it. It's like having a power that's living on the inside of you and not using it. And whenever you realize that this Holy Spirit and the power that you get, it's more than just an experience. It's more than just I don't even know how to explain it. It's almost like you don't know how to explain it until you've got it. I'm telling you, but it is wonderful. It is something that I find myself washing dishes and I'm just, Lord, just help me praying, you know, and praying in the Spirit, and it gets me through the day. It really does. Friends, I'm telling you, in the last days that we live in, it's not something weird. The Holy Spirit is not weird. He is a gentleman. He's not going to just, you have to desire and want the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman. He's not going to push himself on you. But I'm telling you, you need the baptism in the Spirit. It is so good. And it is so good. I remember when I was baptized, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the age of 17. And some of the things that I dealt with, I just stopped doing. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me was greater than the things that I desired in my flesh. And friends, I'm telling you, if you're struggling today, if you're saying, God, I want more of you and in my life and in my family and in my house, then I want to just pose to you the question, just seek the Holy Spirit. It's not something weird. It's not something, it's so good. And what is the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, what does it bring? It brings an overflowing fullness of the Spirit. And I've got these up here, maybe. An overflowing fullness of the Spirit, a deepened reverence for God, an intensified consecration to God and the dedication to his work, and a more active love for Christ, for his Lord, for his word, and for the lost. I don't know any follower of Jesus who wouldn't want all those things and so much more. I want to love Jesus more, and the Holy Spirit helps me do that. I want to see people saved and brought back to him, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you see those things happening. And the people, listen, I want to be so full of the Holy Spirit that when I walk in the room, people say, "There's something different about that guy." There's just an energy that just radiates off of him, that when he walks in the room, it just gives you, you know, chill. And it's like, what is it that this guy have? And it's this Holy Spirit living and breathing on the inside of me. It's he who lives on the inside of me that makes me anything holy. But when I walk into a room, I want the atmosphere to change. When I walk into a room, I want people who are struggling with depression and loneliness and anxiety and all this stuff to be drawn to say, I don't know what it is that you have, but I want that. I want that, this stuff that you have, and I introduce them to Jesus. And then after that, they can experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Church, it's so good. It's so important that we desire and have a longing for the things of God and the baptism in the Spirit. I want to be so full, every believer. So when we practice and we pursue his presence, the first thing that we can step into, and you can take it to the bank, is the promise of his Holy Spirit. My prayer, and always will be, is that God, fill me up to full and overflowing that the fullness, through the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that I need more of him than I need of anything else. Every single day. So are you walking in the promise of his presence or of his Holy Spirit today? That no matter where you're going, that he's going with you, he's going before you, and going after, and lingering after you. That's who I want to be. I don't want to be anywhere where God's presence is not already. And I definitely don't want to be anywhere where God's presence will not be. You know, the worst thing about the not being in eternity with him is being separation and knowing that you could have had the opportunity to go to heaven and being separated from God. Because you'll know. You'll believe then. But when we have the power of the Holy Spirit living and breathing on the inside of us, so good. The last thing that I want us to talk about today is the provision of his presence, or the provision of his, provision of his presence. I have three kids, and each of those kids, when I go away, I want to leave them something behind. Now, it could be financially, it could be a trust fund that I put up for my kids with properties and different things, or in my will and this and that. I want to be able to leave them something when I leave. No matter what it is. Don't we all want to do that? But where I'm going with this is, if I see that my kids are not entitled to anything, because if I see one of my kids are running off and just doing willy-nilly over and not being a good person or following after Jesus, then maybe that they're not entitled to anything. But if I see my kids and they're doing their very best to be good, upstanding men and women of God, why wouldn't I want to leave them behind something? Why wouldn't I want to give them something to steward after I'm gone? You see, church, when we walk in and pursue and practice and pursue and abide in Jesus, we get the provision of his presence. Let me explain to you what I mean. Well, let me go here first. When I got down on one knee to marry my lovely wife right here, she got a man who, no matter what, would always sacrifice for her, would always make sure that she was provided for, and then make sure that our family was provided for, even that $100 Walmart ring, and I was broke, okay? She still said yes. So there is hope, okay, for all you, if you got any single guys out there. Doesn't take money, because I didn't have none. But she got the provision of a husband that would never let her go without. She got the provision of that when we had kids, I would always provide for my kids. That one day, even that my kids, when they're teenagers, right? They may even have a name or a card with my name on it. That no matter where they go, they can swipe it, and they don't have to worry about if the money's going to be there. They're going to know that Dad had the money in the bank every single time that they go, and make sure that they have what they need. For you and I today, what does that mean? Where am I going with this, should you ask? Is that when we walk in the provision of his presence, when we are abiding with him daily, we get that Holy Spirit seal of approval, that no matter what the enemy throws at you, no matter what the world throws at you, no matter what social media and the media tries to shove down your throat, tries to tell you who you are, that you have the provision and the seal of the Holy Spirit to say, no, I don't think you know who my dad is, and his name is God, his name is Jesus. I serve an almighty and a powerful God, that no matter where I go, I know who I am. When people ask me, my kids, who their daddy is, they're going to say, well, his name is Christian Lee Davis. That's who my dad is. And I want to be the same way, that when I'm walking in and abiding in him, that when the enemy or the world or anybody tries to say I'm anything that less than what God says that I am, that I can say, I don't think you know who you're talking to. My dad is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is the one that's seated. He is the name that is above every other name. There's no other name beside him, and every one day every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. Amen? I want to go ahead and get that, if I can get the worship team to come back today. Church, I just want you to understand. Like the disciples, they didn't even recognize who was in their presence, yet they had walked with him. They had seen him do great things. And some of them even went on to betray him, even at the cross. Actually, they all walked. They walked away. Peter denied him. He said, no, I wouldn't do that. But he did. What I want you to understand today, you can be the most seasoned saint and still not be abiding in his presence like we should. Church, I just want you to understand how important it is that we get back to tear-stained altars. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, young people. It doesn't have to. You're never too young or too old for God to begin to speak and to begin to move into your life. When I say tear-stained altars, I'm talking about there are those places in your house that whenever you walk in, God's presence just begins to pour over you. It's more than a Sunday and a Wednesday thing. It's an everyday thing. That as we're abiding with him, as we're pursuing after his presence, that, and you know, the great thing about it is we don't have to do anything but ask. That's it. We don't have to strive. We don't have to work. We don't have to do. We just say, God, here I am, and I need more of you. I want more of you. And so today I want to pose to you the question. First and foremost, is if you're not living for him truly, that comes first. You can't abide with somebody you don't know. And I'll tell you, I'm a living, breathing example of a man who thought he knew who Jesus was, but had no idea. You can come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and think you know. But until you've had an authentic encounter with the one true God, you don't truly know who he is. And you can't abide with him. You don't get the provision. You don't get the promise. You've got to know who he is. So I don't know how we normally do this, but I'm going to ask everybody to stand today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want us to take a moment.